Good morning and welcome to everyone who is worshipping with us this morning. It's good to have you in our service, either in body or virtually. Now, can I again just remind you of the requirements that we would ask you to wear your masks when singing and also when exiting the building. Good to have everyone with us. And can I just, again, welcome Marinej. It's good to have her back after her extended stay in Brazil. Now, this evening at 6 p.m., we have our evening service. And the speaker this evening is David Hamilton, who will be giving a testimony. So do either come along if you've booked in, or you're free to come along if you haven't booked in, and plan to watch online if you can't get down to the church. David has a wonderful testimony of what the Lord has done for him. We meet for prayer on Tuesday at 7:30. Love to see you there. You don't have to book, so just do come along on Tuesday evening. Thursday, everyone is invited to go carol singing. All you have to do is meet at the church at 7:15, and everyone is welcome for that. 7:15 on Thursday for carol singing. Next Sunday, our services are at the usual times of 11 in the morning, 6 in the evening, and our pastor is speaking at those services. If you want to book in for the socially distanced side of the church, please book in as early as you can from tomorrow morning. Last Sunday, we had a 10th Sunday offering, which meant that the entire offering on Sunday and anything that came into the church through the week goes to a particular missionary project. And this time, it goes to our own folk to support those from our own church who are serving the Lord. And the offering was £3,245. So thank you very much for your generosity. We have some prayer letters that you're very free to take. Please take them. They are free, and they're in the display board at the back of the church. We have one from Heather Wilson, who is working with the Faith Mission down in Fermanagh. Then Beverly McMaster is working with CEF, and also we've got one from our friends in Feed My Lambs. Just giving you a heads up of our arrangements for Christmas, we have our family service on Christmas Day at 10 o'clock in the morning. On Boxing Day, Sunday the 26th, we're having one service only in the morning at 11 o'clock. So that's Christmas Day at 10 and Boxing Day at 11. Can I, on behalf of the church, extend our sympathy to Ed Hamilton and the family on the death of Ed's brother-in-law. Ed has lost 4 family members over the past few months. So take the family and pray for them in the days that lie ahead.
Many thanks, Billy. I was a wee bit like the PowerPoint there earlier. I didn't know where it was coming or going. But it is good to be here, and thank you for that. Just a wee word about the testimony tonight. David Packy Hamilton, as you would probably know him better, was brought up in Rathcoole. He ended up in prison for his crimes, but God saved him, and he brought him from prison to the White House in the United States as an influence amongst various issues. I would be disappointed if we don't have a good crowd. Just one thing about if you aren't booked and you don't mind socially distance, not been socially distanced, then there's room for you. At this stage, I'm not sure what way the booking is for those who want to be socially distanced. But I would be disappointed if we don't have a reasonable crowd for such a... We don't put too much store and dependence on testimonies, but nevertheless, it is always good to hear what the Lord has done. And it'll be a wee bit different from what we've been used to on the Sunday evenings. But here we are, we're for another little dedication service. And I was sitting over there, and this wee man here, who's nearly dressed as well as I am, in fact, I think he's dressed like me, and he looked at me, and then I looked at him, and then he looked away again. So he's like a lot of people in church, he's learning very young. Just one thing, in case that you wonder what is a dedication service or what do we do, well, it doesn't do anything for the child, let me tell you that. Dedication isn't like infant baptism, isn't, or as some people practice, which I would have issues with, but dedication is where the father and mother are dedicating their efforts, their lives, to ensure that their child will be brought up in the atmosphere of God and the things of God. And so that's what a dedication service is. And that gives the child then every benefit and every opportunity to be confronted with the gospel, both in church, but not only in church, but also, more importantly, at home. At home. I want to read a few verses before I bring just a short challenge to Wesley and, of course, Emma and little Luke and little Benjamin, isn't it? You remember he was here a few months ago, but Luke was already in the world, but they wanted to have two separate little services for them. Matthew chapter 19, you need not turn to it, but here's what it says in God's word. And there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will help us understand what has been said and what has been done here. Every parent that I know, or ought to have, if they don't already have, an aspiration that their children will encounter Jesus. That is, I wish I had been challenged more about that as a young father. But living in a non-gospel preaching church and living from a non-gospel believing family, that was not made manifest to us. But it ought to be. It ought to be the aspiration of every parent. And it's great that we will be used as taxi service to this group, that group, the other group. We'll be running here, there, and there, everywhere to make sure they get to all the other organizations. But it's good to encourage our children, as the best that we can, that they would meet with Jesus. There's a decreasing number of people who will seek to do that. However, these parents in this passage knew that there was something special, something necessary, something blessed about bringing them to Jesus, because they knew that there was something precious about Jesus. They had heard of the testimonies of the deliverances and the blessings and the protection, the provision, the guidance that he had done for many people. And so bringing before the church is our public declaration that we want to bring our child to know and love the Lord. So there's four things that I believe are important. Don't worry about him, Emma. Don't worry about him, Emma. He'll be all right. He's looking at his uncle and Micah. That's what's wrong. The first four things that ought to be evident and present and ways by which we can bring our children to know the Lord is, first of all, by prayer. I knew I was going to have competition. Praying that the Lord will influence our youngsters. Praying for guidance as parents. Praying for wisdom, understanding, and encouragement. Prayer. So that's one thing that you can do. You can pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for guidance. The second thing is practice. What we practice at home. Living godly lives before our children at home. Let me tell you this, they're not going to pick it up in the world. They're not going to pick it up from those that they go to school with, necessarily, though there are some who are good witnesses to their friends at school. But what we practice at home is very often what the children pick up most permanently. Practicing a godly home and a God. And that's not easy when you've got children who don't want to do what you want them to do, who want to live their own lives and go their own way because they were born with the old sinful nature. Practice. Principles. How are they going to learn humility, honesty, integrity, generosity, forgiveness, grace? If we don't have those principles in our own lives, it need not and ought not, nor ever should be, the practice that don't do as I do as I say. Practice. So in a sense, when you come to dedicate your children, you're saying, first of all, I'm going to pray. cover everything in prayer. I'm going to practice a godly life before my family. I'm going to instill those values, those principles in their lives of humility. I think that's a lost quality in humanity today, humility. Integrity, honesty, decency. The world teaches us that the survival of the fittest. Christ teaches us the survival of those who humble themselves before God. And here's the last thing, in case Luke doesn't want to listen anymore as well. Priorities. Priorities. Can I say, as you live before God, as you bring little Luke, as you promise to bring Benjamin up in the ways of God, make God the first in your life. Make God foremost in your life. Make God forever in your life, in your home. And I will tell you that it's no guarantee that they'll follow your path, but you not live in retirement with regret. And you'll have given your child every opportunity to encounter Christ. Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to come down there. Is that all right? And I want to do something because I'm going to start trying, where permitted, I want to start trying to take the children in my arms. So I will put a wee bit of that in my hands, make sure I'm well covered and so that he's protected. I was actually thinking of that before I came up here. It's a pity Adam and Eve hadn't thought about that, because they passed on to us not an infection called COVID-19, they passed on to us sin, where we have all our troubles. So I'm going to get Wesley and Emma, if you'll come and stand here, and Luke, and just see how good looking this wee man is, and then I'm going to take him for a wee walk. If you come a wee bit more into the side, thank you. A wee bit more, that's it. It's all about aesthetics here, you know, how it looks. So I'm going to ask you four questions. I'm going to ask the congregation. See what he's looking at me? He says, how dare you copy me in dressing? Here's the first thing. Wesley and Emma, you can both answer simultaneously. Do you both profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Second thing is, will you both seek to provide a godly home for little Luke that he might encounter Christ at home? The third thing is, will you endeavor to bring him at an early age to all the things that he can avail of for benefit for his spiritual well-being, like prayer, Bible study, bringing as a family altar in your homes? And the fourth thing is, in this church does provide stepping stones, tiny steps, and YF and worship services, so that children may attend, and the children may attend. I don't mind a wee bit of a noise. I know it gets up some people's noses. It doesn't get up my nose. The worst thing that you could have in a church is the absence of children's noise in a church. That's the worst thing. It doesn't say good for the church, and it doesn't say good for the future. That's why I love children in church. It's as good to me as the rattle of pages in the Bible. It is. The fourth thing then is, will you promise to do everything you can that he has every opportunity in this church to learn of Christ? Get you all to stand, please. I'm going to ask the congregation, will you, all you have to do is say, we will. Will you promise to pray for Wesley and Emma and little Luke? Will you promise to pray for him as you seek the Lord together? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this special little time, Lord, for this little family and for this congregation. Lord, there are people that we have had dedication services before, and they've fizzled away, disappeared. And Lord, it is a cause of concern to us as a congregation. We don't know where those families are. Sometimes we see them growing up, Lord, and they go the way of the world. We can see the influence of the world coming on them from an early, early age. and it seems as if the world gets a grip on their little lives. Father, we come to you humbly now. We ask, Lord, that Luke will not go down that road. We ask, Lord, that Wesley and Emma will be strengthened by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that which they have promised and vowed before this congregation. May we as a congregation live up to our vow to pray that they will see that accomplished. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Wesley and Emma. You may have your seat. And Kate and Dave are going to lead us in our next song. Thank you. Sorry, I don't want to forget this. What did I do? All right. Oh, dear me, my cold hands on your wee body. Isn't it? See, aren't we matching? See that? Isn't he gorgeous? Look at him. He's lost his shoe and his wee bare feet. Dear wee man. So that's wee Luke. You remember that's who you're going to be praying for. He's very friendly. Some of you I'll stay away from, but that's him. He's a lovely wee chap. He's a special gift from God. What wonderful grace, what wonderful love God has for us. Thank you very much. All right, Kate and Dave, thank you so much. I nearly forgot that wee bit. There you go.
And the final hymn that we're going to sing for this part of the service is I Cannot Tell.
Sun shall shine its glare.
Amen. Let's all bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these truths, for this blessing, Lord, of knowing that he is the Savior of the world and he's coming back again. He did humble himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. But, oh God, one day every eye will see him and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you, Lord, for opportunities to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We do pray, Father, for those of our church who are in beds of sickness. We think of Kinley Nesbitt, Lord, as he's now in hospital and recovering from an infection. We do pray too, Father, for Paul McConnell as he continues to recover from the awful onset of the virus upon his body. And Lord, in these two men and in others, we're praying for God's miracle of power and grace to be let loose, to undo all that the viruses and all the infections have done in their body. And, oh God, restore them to a great measure of health and strength again in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for our church family. Lord, as we interact with more and more of the people in our church and in the wider Christian community, Lord, we're beginning to see other effects of restrictions and the virus and the uncertainty of what lies around the corner, and Lord, the many things that the enemy is using, Lord, to divide the church and to separate us from the one who loves us and gave himself for us. Father, would you set a hedge around your people? Would you, Lord, put a wall of fire between us and the enemy? Will you help us, Lord, to focus on Christ and on God's law and God's liberty for us? We ask, Father, that you'll preserve us from reacting in the natural. And, oh God, enable us to rely on the supernatural one. Would you bless, Lord, those who need God's touch in so very many ways today? Thank you for bringing Marinez back with us. Thank you, Lord, for the safe travel back from Brazil and for preserving her when she was there. Thank you, Lord, for those who have now just recovered from the virus that we know of here. Thank you for keeping your good hand on them. Lord, we can say our times are in thy hand, and we're so glad. Give us inspiration now, we pray, as we turn to your word. It's your word. We ask for your help of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're turning to three passages, and there's a recurring phrase that I want to focus in on. We will be standing to read God's word. I have to say I am firmly in the spirit of Christmas. Are you? That's a new thing for me so early on in December. It's usually about the 19th or the 25th of December before I get into it. But I'm firmly in the grip of the Christmas spirit, because I'm not going to let the devil steal Christmas from me. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm not. So you're going to have to put up with a wee Christmas message this morning, and then next Sunday morning's our family service, so they'll be singing their little Christmas carols. Then next Sunday night, Brian has arranged our Christmas carol service, in which I'll be speaking. And then on Boxing Day, I have a word burning in my heart for Boxing Day, so don't you dare miss it, all right? Are you sure now? If you're not here, I'll name you from the pulpit. All right, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, and those are the two chapters that we'll be turning to, and I may as well give you that warning in advance so that when we stand to read God's word, that is, if you're able to stand, it is to change people's position who have asked us to do that, then if you would like to stand for the reading of God's word, then let us do so just now. Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18. Let's stand together. Matthew chapter 1 and the verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph her husband, being a righteous, just, good man, and not willing to make a public example was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, or while he wondered on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then over there to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 26 to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I hope that's the right one anyway. And to verse 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name. Let me say that again. And the virgin's name was Mary. A lot of people don't believe that. There's boys in the pulpit and they don't believe that. And there's boys with their theology, and they could maybe see, you could maybe think that they're all very spiritual, but they don't believe that. A virgin called Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. She wondered at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke chapter 2 is the next reading, verses 8 to 15. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, terrified. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in grave clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. I'm almost back on the same theme that I was back in on last Sunday evening. If some of you will remember, our title and our theme last Sunday morning was, Fear not, God is there in your future. Well, I almost arrived at the title, Fear Not, God Is Here, for this one. For this is a birth that scuttles all our fears. And with the message that the angel brought to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds was that one recurring two-word phrase, fear not, fear not. Now, whilst it may have been the particular set of circumstances that caused fear in the respective individuals' hearts, like, after all, an angel comes and tells a young virgin woman, you're pregnant, suddenly appears in from nowhere. I mean, wouldn't you be afraid? Wouldn't you be afraid of what people would think? Wouldn't you be afraid of what people would say? Wouldn't you be afraid of what people would be talking about? Wouldn't you be afraid of this supernatural being all of a sudden appearing out of nowhere? That was her circumstance. Joseph. The Bible makes it very clear that he was an upright, a man of integrity and honesty. He was a decent man. We know some decent people, don't we? Decent in every way. He was an upright, moral man. He had a relationship with a young woman. In fact, they were engaged to be married. And now, he's told by a supernatural being who appears out of nowhere, whom it would seem to me that God already knew what was going through his heart, as we'll see a little later on. And here's what he has seen. He's seen the supernatural being. Your girlfriend's pregnant. The Bible says, and I made it clear, that he wondered. He was mulling it through his mind. That was his circumstance. That was her circumstance. Don't fear. Don't fear what is going on in your life now. Now, to try and save a wee bit of time, and it's going to be very difficult because it's 11:45. It's desperate. That old clock. I know people say to me, why are you worried about the time? Because I say half the congregation's worried about the time. The shepherds. They don't only see Angel Gabriel, they see a whole host of angels. They had no idea that this was some alien from outer space come to take over the world. They had never seen or heard anything like it. These boys had dwelt on the hills for all of their lives. They were particularly designated to be shepherds. They were third-rate citizens. They have never seen anything fantastic in their lives before. They're on the mountain and all of a sudden there's a host of angels, a host of supernatural beings, and they're confronted with them, and to them they're told, don't fear. So you'll understand then why I say, according to their particular circumstances, this word was sent, fear not. Can I say, you need never fear. You need never fear what God is doing. You need never fear. However, we may never be in their circumstance or in their situation. But I have to say, there's one message burning in my heart over the whole of the last number of months. I see fear written on people's faces. Fear. And whilst we may not be in the circumstance that Mary and Joseph and the shepherds were, I want to tell you there's fear on most of the people's hearts that I'm speaking to. It may not be very relevant, may not be very obvious, but there's fear, fear. The devil is a master at putting fear into our hearts. And he does it so subtly. He can even take something that God is doing and strike fear in the heart because we're not sure what God is doing. Now, there's a difference between the fear that the devil is putting into the church of today and the fear that God and the fear of godliness. The fear of God's reverential. It's holy. is conscious of the greatness and the glory of God, and is conscious of who God is, and there's nothing in my life that I want to offend him. That's the fear of God. But the Bible says that the devil's fear is the fear of torment. It's a demonic fear. A demonic fear. Now, I was out with the Connect, and Andrew was speaking on Thursday. I have to say thank you, folks, for arranging that. Esther and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. If you don't go, start going. Esther and I are going this Thursday again. It was really, really good. But you know what that wee smug boy Andrew said about me? He said his sermon wouldn't be near as long as my introductions. I'll get him back for that. He can go out someday and the tires of his cars will be flat. So I'm only getting into my introduction, so I'm going to persevere here. What is the demonic fear? It's the torment of the mind. It's the fear of the future. It's the fear of the present. It puts obstacles before us, and it feels as if our world is disintegrating, and we arrive at a place of discouragement, doubt, disappointment, and disbelief. And the Christians are being dragged into that life today. The birth of Jesus dispels all those fears. Let me say to you again, the birth of Jesus dispels all those fears. And that's why I've read from these three different places. Because if you've noticed, fear not, I am. Do you know, right from Genesis chapter 15, God was saying, fear not. Right to the Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, God was saying, fear not. And you know the thing that ties all of those things together? Fear not in Genesis 15, I am thy shield. And in Revelation chapter 1, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. You know the thing that ties them up together? That fear not is that God, I am, the I am God, is with us. I am. I am. 2,000 years ago, the one who introduced himself to Moses at that burning bush, I am, is the God that came into our world 2,000 years ago. I am here. Amen. I am. Bill Gaither wrote that very popular song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And he built that song all around his song. Well, I want to tell you, we can build our lives all around the I am. And I'm going to go as quickly but as carefully as I can to try and bring out the message of the fear nots of Christmas. Fear not. God keeps his promises. Do you know that what the angel is telling Joseph and Mary and the shepherds? Don't worry. God will always keep his promises. Right from Genesis 3, where God said that he would defeat the head, that the seed of the woman would defeat the head of the serpent, right until we get to Matthew chapter 1, where Christ is born. God had said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And he would put enmity between the two seeds, and they would battle, and there'd always be conflict. But at the end, he would come and he would win. Throughout the Old Testament, this message could be heard again and again and again. He is coming. Shiloh is coming. There's a wonderful verse. Do a wee bit of study on Genesis 49, verse 10. Shiloh. You know what Shiloh, the word Shiloh means? The bearer of peace is coming. That's what Jacob said to his people, to his children, on his death. Bed. Shiloh is coming. He is coming. The bearer of peace is coming. The prince of peace is coming. From Genesis chapter 15 Genesis chapter 49 right until Matthew chapter 1, he's coming. And now he has come. It was written in their history. It was in their DNA. God had promised that a Messiah, a Redeemer, an Emancipator, a Savior, a King would be born. Can you imagine what might have been going through their minds? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? They even asked John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? So they had it in their minds. The King was coming, but now he has come. He's pictured and he's foreshadowed, and we get glimpses of him throughout the Old Testament. The Passover, the night that the angel of death passed over Egypt. The Red Sea, he made a way through the Red Sea. The burning bush that Moses was confronted with. The tabernacle, the songs of the psalmist. David's king that would sit on the throne. Ezekiel's wheel that would crush the kingdoms of the world. Jeremiah's potter that was going to fix the broken objects. To Isaiah's king of kings. Malachi's son of righteousness. Zechariah's fountain filled with blood. And Zechariah's prophet that was wounded in the house of his friend. Each event, each situation, pointing to Jesus. When Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, God's promise was validated. Folks, listen. Listen. God never breaks his promises. Never. We might get tired and we might get weary, but God always keeps his promise. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, world, God keeps his promises. If you're wondering or questioning, can I really trust God? I wouldn't trust life without God. In fact, dear friend, I wouldn't go out into my car without God in my life. People say, can I trust him with my life? I don't only trust him with my life, I trust him with my eternity. I tell you one thing, I don't know how I lived the first 26 years of my life without God, other than to say it was reckless, it was careless, and it was rebellious. But now I love Jesus because he keeps his promise. I don't always get my way. I don't always get what I want, but God always keeps his promises. And I might think he's taking the long way around to be getting to the destination that he wants to bring me, but God always keeps his promises. Fear not, God keeps his promises. From the time, the method, the place, the life he would live, his miracles, the death he would die, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. God has it bang on. He keeps his promises. And every time you see a nativity scene, by the way, I'm angry. Did you know that? I was watching a news item where life was going on as normal in some of the schools, even despite this Omicron. But I think, I'm sorry if you feel that I'm out of place in saying this, but I think there's an awful lot of scaremongering going on. Listen, they had a nativity scene without nativity. There was camels and there was horses and there was pigs and there was elephants, but there was no baby in a manger, there was no manger, there was no Mary, and there was no Joseph. How could they call it a nativity scene? Every time you see a nativity scene, every time somebody says to you Merry Christmas, every time you see a Christmas tree all lit up, God keeps his promises. Very quickly, second, fear not, God's power will be shown. I made the point to point out to you, Joseph wondered, how can this be? This upright, moral, just, godly, holy man. How could this be? He was wondering. And the angel, listen, notice, folks, that we don't have to verbalize our questions for God to answer them. Did you notice that? When Nicodemus came to Jesus, I don't see Nicodemus asking Jesus one question. But Jesus, the Bible says, answered and said unto him. Over here, Nicodemus said, we know that, Master, we know that, no, that good Master, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. There's no question there. But Jesus replies and answered and said unto him. The disciples, they were reasoning and wondering and questioning. He says, why are you questioning in your hearts? So God saw that Joseph was wondering, and he says, the power of God shall overshadow. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Mary, we also pointed out, she was wondering. And God came to her and he says, you shall conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. The two answers were enclosed with the power of God. The power of God. I made the point earlier that the world and people and men in pews and men in pulpits don't believe in the virgin birth. Well, listen, and I'm going to look at the camera. If you are a minister in a pulpit and you do not believe in the virgin birth of the Son of God, then do God a favor, do the world a favor, and get out of that pulpit. Because you're leading people to hell. A young heretic. You know what a heretic is? Someone who professes to be a Christian but has heresies in his life. He challenged a preacher who believed in the virgin birth. He says, do you not know your biology, you man of cloth? You so intelligent and so educated. Do you not believe that a virgin cannot possibly be pregnant without having relations with a man? The pastor replied, well, Adam was born without a woman, without a mother or father. And the pastor said, if God can reach into virgin earth and breathe in a wee bit of dust, and out of that dust comes Adam, God can breathe and reach into a virgin's womb and bring forth a man child, and they called him Jesus. And you think of this miracle, because the day that God reached into the womb of Mary, from her was born the answer to the world, the answers to the sins of the world, and the answer to the world's needs. And you question the power of God? God is a miracle working, sin destroying, promise keeping God. And I forget the name of the group, it'll come to me some stage later on. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. Fear not. There's no place too hard that he cannot revive. There is no heart too hard that he cannot soften. There is no problem too difficult that he cannot resolve. There is no person too wicked that he cannot forgive. And there is no heart too hard that he cannot penetrate. And there is no limits, no barriers, no obstacles to the power of God. When are we going to waken up and smell the coffee? God's power is real. Fear not, the third one. God will pay our penalty. Do you know the reason that Jesus was born into poverty? It's because he didn't come to reign over us the first time. Second time he will, but the first time. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come to preach, but boy, he could preach. He used to tie the leaders of the Sanhedrin in knots. He didn't come necessarily to perform mighty miracles. However, I would say this to you, the miracles did prove that he was the Son of God. But that wasn't his primary purpose. He didn't come to teach us how to pray. Mind you, he fairly taught us how to pray. And he prayed some wonderful prayers, didn't he? I think I have this in another message that I prepared for over Christmas, but I'm going to give you it anyway in case you're not here. And if you're not here, shame on you. But anyway, that's between you and the Lord. When they wrapped him in swaddling clothes, that's strips of cloth. And when you delve into that, you discover that those were cloths specially prepared for burial. Now, there were various ways of embalming bodies. Some used to inject various fluids into the body to embalm them. But there was another process where they took these strips of cloth and soaked them in certain chemicals so that it would preserve the body. What was Mary and Joseph thinking of? when they wrapped him in strips of cloth. The hand of inspiration was guiding the hand of man to portray the message to the world that someone was coming who would meet the need of man's sin by his own death on the cross. My dear friend, he gave his life for ransom for many. The message of Christmas is that Christ came today. He came today. Let that soak in for a minute. As Mary took her little son, some way the hand of inspiration, taking those grave clothes, go and look that up, those grave clothes, wrapped him in these clothes, put him in a stinking manger, some way, somehow God guiding their hand to convey a message to you and me. The only reason that Jesus came to live in this world was to come and die. You know, he's the light of the world because he is the only light that any man may have. And the only light that any man may ever have is the light that he receives from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only life that you may ever have that is worth anything for eternity is the life that the Lord Jesus gives to you through faith in him. He's the bright and the morning star because he's the only one that can paint, point and guide men and women in the right direction. Is he your guide? The reason he is God's Lamb is because he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The reason Christ bears the message of goodwill to all men and peace is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross and its work are the reason he came. The price was not paid through the great flood. The price was not paid when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. The price was not paid through the captivities of Babylon. The price was not paid through the 400 years of enslavement in Egypt. The price was not paid through the prophets that were slain. The price was not paid through Daniel or his three friends' persecution. The price was not paid through the prophetic silence. The price was not paid until Jesus shed his blood for you and I. It was paid when he cried, "It is finished." It was paid when the curtain was split in two. It was paid when the tomb was vacated. The last fear not, or the fourth point of fear not, and I will be only 2 minutes. Fear not. God offers pardon for sin. Not only was it offered to Joseph, not only was it offered to Mary, but when the angels came to the shepherd, "Go and see." They came and they saw, and they told everybody what they had seen. The message that the angel gave to the shepherds, glad tidings or good news, or which is the Greek for the gospel to all men. A pardon is now available to every man, woman, child and nation and individual by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Two phrases and I'm done. There are no limits to what God can do. Am I right? Mary said, "How can Sarah said, Abraham's wife said, how can this be?" Jeremiah answered the question, "Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. There are no limits. I tell you, there are no lengths to which God will not go. If he's willing to take himself the form of man and to become a man for us, there are no lengths to which he is not willing to go. If he's willing to die, there are no lengths to which he's not willing to go for you and me." And the third thought is this: there's no lifestyle that's outside of his grace. He came to the shepherds, a young virgin woman, to Joseph, to the world. Those are my first thoughts of Christ this Christmas. I trust that you'll meditate upon them yourself and apply the truths to your heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray before we sing our last song. Father, we want to thank you for what we learn as we study, we delve into God's word. We ask, Lord, that you'll apply these truths. Cause us, Lord, to celebrate the Christ of Christmas this year. Make us, Lord, full of Christ over this whole period. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that last song.